Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stormbreak by Sam Ferguson. Narrated by Paul Bamer. Prologue. A single figure stood at the edge of what appeared to be a massive caldera, his brow furrowed while considering what could possibly have happened to King Duroid's mountain. The last time he had been in these parts to observe and take official report had been the previous year before the winter snows. At the time, the king's family had been growing, with a son nearing the age at which he might seek claim to his own mountain, and another scarcely old enough to hunt. The mountain had been teeming with dwarf and dragon life, and now there was nothing left but signs of a few shallow graves and a single excavated chamber. A breeze picked up, bringing the scent of rain and the warm, earthy smell of late spring as it swirled his forest-green cloak about him, fitfully concealing the deep red of his leather jerkin, which carried the symbol of his position as a watcher for the Cosmic Council. His hand strayed unconsciously up to linger over the symbol as his eyes swept over the smooth and swirling patterns along the side of the crater that were evidence of where molten rock had cooled and solidified. With no volcanic activity in the area to speak of, he could think of only one thing that could turn solid rock in such a way. Dragon fire. His mind played over several possible scenarios, and a pit began to form in his stomach as he kept coming back to the same likely conclusion. This must have been an attack. He bent down and lightly stroked a nearby boulder. He could feel the screams of the dying as he touched the stone. The blood of those murdered cried up to him, begging for justice. The man pulled his hand and stood up. Justice was a noble goal, when used in appropriate doses, but the kind of judgment he could call forth was not something Kendalden would survive. As if in answer to this thought, a flash of silver light erupted on the far side of the caldera. Even from this distance, the man could see the sun reflecting off the bright gold jerkin his mentor always wore beneath his own forest-green cloak. He took in a deep breath, preparing to deliver his report and receive what he hoped would be useful guidance from Roshan, the watcher who was known for swift and decisive, if not always entirely merciful, conclusions about the state of the worlds over which he had been given jurisdiction. Another flash of light brought the older watcher to the man's side. "What caused this?" the man in the golden green asked brusquely, without pausing for pleasantries, as he stamped the butt of his spear on the ground.
"I fear a rogue dragon," the first answered slowly, watching his superior's face carefully.
His eyes took in the red tattoo that ran along the right side of his face, the same symbol which he himself carried for the time being only on his clothing. The right to take the symbol upon himself permanently would be given only after he had proven himself a reliable servant of the council. Raising a single eyebrow, Roshan turned to regard his companion. Without betraying what his thoughts may be about this theory, he asked,
"How long ago did this happen?"
"The best I can determine is that it happened late last year," he answered.
"Is the problem widespread?"
the senior watcher asked. "I am uncertain," he replied.
"It would be best to investigate.
I know this is your first world watch, but you don't want problems like this to creep up on you. They have a way of spoiling the rest of the planet.
Dragons?
The younger man asked.
Acts of wanton violence.
His mentor clarified.
Go, and see what you can find out for yourself. The subtleties of the Void's influence cannot be ascertained from casual observation a year after the fact. If there is a dragon which has succumbed to the call of the Void...
So you think it might be possible, then?
Before seeing this, the young watcher gestured out to the vast crater before them.
I would have said that dragons were immune to the Void.
Roshan shook his head.
No. They are resistant to it. But nothing is immune to it, not even us. That is why it is so vital we monitor this development closely. If the Void is not stopped from spreading its influence throughout Kendalden, then the Cosmic Council will need to act swiftly to keep the chaos from spreading to other worlds.
That's a sobering thought,
the man in the red jerkin said.
Indeed. Have you been into the tunnels below?
Roshan asked.
I can see that someone has been digging here.
The younger watcher nodded.
I went into them yesterday, and that was when I sent for you.
What did you find? Scavengers?
No. Actually, I found evidence that some dwarves had been buried. I also found evidence that a crystal of knowledge had been destroyed in the same cavern. I had wondered whether humans might have come since the destruction and tried to remove the crystals. It is rare, but not unheard of, for an expedition to occasionally venture this far into dragon territory.
He looked inquisitively to his companion. After a moment of consideration, his mentor replied,
No. They wouldn't have stopped to bury the bodies of dwarves. My guess is it's a dragon from this mountain, or possibly a dwarf. The dragon might have taken the crystals to hide them, knowing that his duty to the Aurorian would be to keep the crystals away from any who might twist their use to help the Void.
A crystal of knowledge in the hands of the Void? Could a being of darkness ever hope to make use of an object that channels light and knowledge?
Perhaps not directly, but any one of its servants may discover a use for it.
After a moment of silence, the young watcher said,
Would you like to go down? I can show you what I found.
No. Just remember that the Cosmic Council will want a report of everything you see.
Don't worry. I had an eidetic memory even before I joined the Watchers. I was one of the best investigators on my home world.
The senior watcher smiled.
Just make sure not to leave anything out, and don't get involved either, he cautioned. Your charge is to observe and report, nothing more. It is the Aurorian's task to control the life on this planet and ensure that it does not fall to the influence of the Void. We do not interfere with the efforts of the Aurorian, or any god,
Roshan said coolly.
Unless the Aurorian fails,
the younger watcher commented dryly. The senior watcher nodded.
If this planet goes beyond the point of no return, then you must recommend its destruction. Do you understand?
He hesitated for only a moment before nodding decisively.
I will not fail the Cosmic Council.
Good. Then I will return to them. I have other duties to attend to. Will you be all right on your own?
You're leaving?
Roshan nodded as he began to casually walk along the edge of the crater, surveying the rubble down below.
I have known the Aurorian for a long time. Remember, I was in charge of watching this world for millennia before turning it over to you. Knowing the Aurorian as I do, I am confident that he already has a plan to mitigate any strategy the Void might be using to spread chaos."
He stopped for a moment to brush his hand over the surface of a broken bit of hillside that still remained at the edge of the depression. For the first time, the young watcher noticed what must be claw marks where a smaller dragon had been attempting to dig directly into the side of the mountain.
"May I suggest that you confer with the ancients?"
his mentor continued after a moment of reflection.
"It is their responsibility to restore balance, and it would be unfortunate if they have been growing lax in their duties. I have found them to be reliable in times past. It would be helpful to know that they still work closely with the Aurorian."
"Yes, I am aware of their role here on Kendalden. I will gladly speak with them," the younger man answered with the smallest hint of surprise in his voice. Permission to interact freely with any inhabitant of a world being watched, even the Council of Ancients, was a rare thing. Perhaps things were more serious than he had realized.
"Perhaps I will visit you again.
Remind me, what name do you use on this planet?"
"Zaman,"
the younger watcher replied, "though not many know of me."
"As it should be. Maintain a low profile. The less interference, the better, with the exception of the ancients, of course. You are free to discuss this matter with them to see if they have any knowledge that can help you. They may be able to shed light on the Aurorians' plans as well."
"Of course,"
Zaman replied. There was a silvery flash of light, and the senior watcher was gone. Exhaling heavily, Zaman scanned the horizon, trying to clear his head and make a decision about where to begin his investigation concerning this mountain. His mind was filled with thoughts of the fate of those worlds which had been declared forfeit to the Void, and the destruction which had come upon them. Though he had not been on assignment for long, compared to the eons Roshan had spent as a watcher for the Council, he was well aware of the brushes with judgment Kendalden had already experienced. As though he could see the events of the past from where he stood, Zaman turned his eyes eastward toward the once great elven city of Blackstone. As he did so, something caught his eye, a glint on the mountaintop. It wasn't even something he saw with his physical eyes, but more something that pulled at his soul, as if the world itself called to him.
"There,"
Zaman said aloud. There was a flash of light, and Zaman found himself atop a mountain, standing near a fire pit in front of a small cabin. Even from a distance, he recognized the dwarven workmanship, the carvings on the pillars of the porch, the height and shape of the front door, the exactness of the windows. All of it spoke of a dwarf builder.
"You should go around the side."
A voice called out. Zaman turned, spear at the ready, just in case. His muscles relaxed when he saw the spirit of a dwarf.
"The name is Dringen," the dwarf said with a smile. "I thought you might like to see the carving on that side."
Dringen pointed around to the left. Zaman nodded and walked around to find a large carving of the Aurorian. He smiled appreciatively, and then turned back to the spirit.
"Why do you linger here?"
Zaman asked.
"I forsook my duties as a dwarf," Dringen said. "The king I served will not let me rest with him in the halls of glory. Neither will any of his ancestors, so I remain here, where I have made a life for myself."
"A life?" Zaman asked. That was an odd choice of words for a spirit to use. A second spirit appeared. A female dwarf, dark and beautiful. She walked up beside Dringen and placed her hand in his.
Zaman began to understand. "We are happier than either of us ever were in life," Dringen said.
"Then I am happy for you,"
Zaman replied.
"I thought you should know. The people that lived in my home also followed the Aurorian. A friend of mine, Boone is his name, even tutored a dragon here."
"A dragon?" Zaman echoed. "Odd that a human should be involved with a dragon."
Dringen nodded. "I saw you come in over at the wrecked mountain. There was a hatchling that escaped. He came here. He spent some time at my home with Boone."
Zaman arched a brow and narrowed his eyes on Dringen.
"Did he carry the crystals of knowledge with him?"
Dringen nodded.
"And why tell me this?"
Dringen smiled.
"I used to dream of a day when all races would work together to establish peace. Well, I just wanted to inform you that this particular dragon is working toward that very goal, and I know Boone seeks that kind of peace as well."
"And you thought this information would be important to me?" Zaman asked.
Dringen smiled. "There is no need to be modest,"
Dringen said.
"I know who you are, and I know the kind of power you wield. I figured that along with all of the evil you might find noteworthy, perhaps I should make sure you have at least one good thing to report back to your council."
Zaman's eyes shot wide.
"How do you know of the council? I have not spoken with any mortals of that since the elves lived in Blackstone."
Dringen smiled.
"The spirit gets around," he said. "It's one of the few things we are really good at, you know. We can't eat, don't need sleep, but we can travel. I have visited the libraries in Blackstone and found many good books there over the years."
Zaman nodded.
"And I assume you will keep this information to yourself?"
Dringen shrugged.
"I would say no, but who could I tell? Boone only sees me in his memories, and the dragons who created me have banished me. There is no one with the ability to see or hear me but you."
Zaman smiled.
"Then go and rest in peace."
He waved, and the two dwarf spirits smiled back at him as they vanished. Zaman then went to the door and tested it. It was locked. Not that a few bolts of metal could prevent him from getting in, though. He needed only focus for an instant, and then he teleported into the cabin. A mouse shrieked and skittered across the floor. Zaman watched the creature until it disappeared behind a loose baseboard on the far wall. He then surveyed the room, noting the many cobwebs and the thick layer of dust resting upon every surface. He went to a strange cupboard and opened it, surprised to find a pipe sticking out with a spigot, as well as several buckets. He turned the spigot and smiled when he saw water flowing freely. They had indoor plumbing on the world where he had lived on before joining the Watchers, but it was unusual to find it on still-developing worlds.
"Dringen, you must have been very crafty indeed,"
Zaman said as he bent down to drink from the spigot. The cool, clean mountain water coursed down his throat, sending goosebumps along his arms. He turned the spigot off and then searched the rest of the home. Other than the furniture and a few old and chipped pots, he didn't find anything at all. If Boone had lived here with a dragon, there was no sign of it now. Zaman left the same way he had entered, in order to leave the locks sealed out of respect for the homeowner. He walked around the other side of the cabin and found a large stone slab upon a track. He slid a large bar into a slot and used it to roll the stone away, revealing a great cavern. Zaman grinned to himself. This was where the dragon had slept, Scorch marks marred the ground, and there were a few spots on the interior wall where the dragon had scratched at the stone surface.
A dragon who wishes to unite all races, eh?
Well, this might be something I have to keep an eye on,
Zamen told himself as he closed the storage chamber back up. Finished with the cabin and presuming that he had found that which had pulled at his soul to begin with by talking to Dringen, he once again worked to clear his mind, looking for the thought that would guide him to see what he most needed to see. Again his thoughts were drawn to Blackstone and the destruction of the elves. Blackstone was several days' journey from this spot, possibly weeks even, hundreds of kilometers away to the southeast. All of that space was nothing for Zamen. He knew precisely where he needed to appear. He closed his eyes and thought of a quiet shrine that he knew of.
There, he said, as he pictured the right spot.
Just as before, there was a flash of light and a rush of wind. Then he was standing in the new spot. The air here smelled of spices and roasted meat, though Zamen had enough experience with Blackstone to know that the smells were wafting in from outside the shrine. The broken window to his left overlooked a small market where some vendors were wont to set up shop as fledgling restaurateurs, grilling fish, lamb, or beef as the mood struck them. Most of them were fair, if not slightly overpriced, but there was one in particular that Zamen made a habit of frequenting. The tall man turned and conjured a coin purse at his side, careful to summon just enough coin to cover his expenses. Blackstone offered myriad luxuries and comforts, but it also had more than its share of pickpockets and thieves. If Zamen was to keep a low profile, then his coin purse would be small and filled mostly with copper, having just enough silver to cover his meal. Zamen could easily handle any thief, of course, but it wasn't the thieves that worried him. The Cosmic Council was never pleased when a report of a fight came in, for the same reason Zamen sent his spear away into a holding dimension where he could easily retrieve it if absolutely necessary. But it usually wasn't. He had other tricks that would help him remain hidden within the crowd. He went to the window and looked down. The alleyway below was clear, and no one was within range to see his appearance, so he left the shrine and appeared on the alley below. He pulled his green cloak a bit tighter around himself and strolled out into the open. There were probably 200 people milling about the different tables and shops, each buying various types of wares. His eyes went first to a merchant selling weapons. Swords and daggers were on display, while two very capable-looking brutes stood by at the ready. Last summer, Zamen had discovered a warlord at that very table. The buyer had been in the employ of a particularly nasty man who made his money by raiding villages and preying upon defenseless people. The Cosmic Council was more than a little curious about how that warlord had ended up missing. Fortunately for Zamen, they had never found any proof of his interference. The Council would not have been pleased had they discovered the truth. But not a soul from the dozen or so villages that had been under the warlord's thumb had ever seen him, and all the physical evidence of his involvement was 6 kilometers under the surface of the sea, along with whatever was left of the warlord and his men. Zamen smiled as he walked by the merchant. It was a fun memory. That day justice had been the right amount at the right time. He walked along, slipping between a pair of men carrying baskets in front of them and chattering on about black yams and how bad the harvest had been the previous year. Zamen had to resist the urge to turn and pummel the two men. Black yams weren't harvested for the root, but rather the leaves, which were dried and then smoked to induce euphoria and hallucinations. For now, it was mostly a religious practice among a sect of humans that believed in ancestor worship. But there were addicts in Blackstone, if one knew where to look to find them. In the days before he had joined with the Cosmic Council, he would have broken the two men publicly, and then trashed their product. But he couldn't risk the Council's wrath for something as petty as a black yam dealer. Still, he did have to note how many addicts there were in the city, and account for whether their numbers were rising or declining, and why. It was a part of his duties he didn't enjoy. Perhaps he would skip that particular statistic this trip. He continued on his way until he found a small stall with a table out front that had a red and white cloth over the top. The smell of roasted lamb permeated the area outside, and had people lining up to make their order. Lamb kebab was common among human settlements, but Sarkenhegut had the best. Zamen stood in line for 20 minutes, waiting as patiently as he could, while his stomach grumbled and growled. He passed the time by watching the crowd around him. He noted a pair of street kids cutting purses and stealing food. Petty crime like that would have once been a reason for him to leave his place in line and begin pursuit. But these were not the kinds of crimes the Cosmic Council dealt with. Their interests were more systematic in nature, and led to far worse outcomes than any pickpocket could initiate.
"Well, hello there, tall one,"
a sultry voice cooed from behind him. Zamen turned and frowned immediately when he saw a pair of women and their telltale immodest clothing. "I have neither the money nor the time to waste, ladies. Ply your trade elsewhere." The brunette frowned and took a step back, but the blonde persisted, coming in close and sliding her hand along Zamen's chest.
"Oh, but you don't know what you're missing,"
she said as she coyly picked a piece of lint from his cloak.
"Begone,"
Zamen said with a dismissive wave. The blonde shrugged it off and skipped over to some other poor sap, who was only all too eager to pay for what she was selling. The brunette, on the other hand, stared at Zamen in disbelief for a few moments, before turning and disappearing into the crowd. Zamen got his lamb kebab and then continued his way through Blackstone. He missed the days when elves roamed the streets. Their race had been much more orderly and far less driven by greed and ambition. Well, except for Nirazan Shanda, that elf had been devilish enough for the whole race, and then some. The Watcher slipped through the flowing crowds until he had seen everything he had come to see. Unfortunately, no one was gossiping about a rogue dragon. It seemed that news of the destruction had not spread this far. Zamen had not expected it to, since he knew that humans generally stayed away from dragon-ruled lands. But it was undeniable that of all the races, humans were the most prone to gossip and the easiest to pull information from. And there was the fact that his thoughts had been drawn here to Blackstone. Pausing for a moment in front of the great library, he was struck with the urge to enter. Quickly finishing his food, he walked up the steps to the entrance. In the time of the elves, two guards would have stood at the door, and a visitor would have needed proper permission to study at the great library, with its valuable collection of tomes and scrolls. Now that an age of men had come to Blackstone, knowledge was less highly valued, perhaps less thoroughly understood, and so less closely guarded. Though it did make investigation simpler, it also tugged at Zamen's heart with a sense of regret. He pushed open one of the double doors and stepped into the central hall of the library, where a soaring ceiling of glass and metal allowed sunlight to pour into the chamber. Though many smaller areas branched off from this entry hall, it was to the center of this room that Zamen was drawn. Many of the elven statues of Blackstone had been taken down over the centuries of human occupation, but here remained one that Zaman had almost forgotten about.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?